リングが高いんだよ。
I don't know about you, but public toilets have been always a place of menace for me. And I think the new kiosk there in Grand Parade is so different. So this is called Is It Locked? After Public Toilet Kiosk Experience Grand Parade. How can one void in comfort when one is torn between two conflicting fears? Fear of the door opening and fear of it not. Second one is short one, it's called You. I awoke in the middle of the night and tasted you. This is the third poem in a trilogy of love poems for Christina. This is after text from Paul Jesus. Word came that you were out, and like-minded souls joked about my obsession. But it hasn't faded, and you emerge once again to show me your ego, to show me deafness of pen. But I love you, not for your poetry. What good is poetry to me? But for your form and to listen to the alliteration of heart trembles when your name is mentioned, and my mind your portrait conjures. Fine-featured, silken, platinum doll, close-woven fabric of life without curse or stain. But how can I tell for sure from one fleeting glance? Shimmering, silken, lover of the moon.
And okay, Emer is next. Follow that one. I wrote this today after passing a few people who should probably admire more, fight more there to go with them. Called July in Ireland. The chill of a non-existent summer reaches its icy fingers to touch your exposed skin. Uncovered due to a mixture of ignorance and a foolish faith placed in the belief that summer means sunshine. The constant sound of your teeth chattering is an unwelcome accompaniment to the drone of the wind in your ears as you wander shivering under the canopy of grey clouds that covers all the blue sky. Thanks, Emer. Yes, I can relate to that one. And next we have Julie Field. Sorry, no, not Alton, Mary O'Connell. Hi, this is called Enigma.
If you take Greek myths and legends and Euripides to shreds, then add some TV game shows, the result could wreck your head. A hybrid of old favourites and heroes from the past could result in several programmes with a very different cast. Menelaus behaving badly might be one to keep in mind. Theseus, your life might be something of a find. We'd love Homer and Away and the 9 o'clock Medusa. Have I got Zeus for you? Ariadna plays the bruiser. They think it's all Ovid and wish we were Hera. Look for Oedipus' blind date and Charybdis and Cinna. The minute your backs are turned, they shout Pollux and Castor. We'd need Ajax to flush out what might be a disaster. If you don't watch television and hate the BBC, I'd pardon you for saying the whole thing's Greek to me.
Thanks, Mary. We look forward to all those programs now on the BBC. Now, next, Julie Field.
While shuffling a bookcase across the bedroom floor, a middle-aged mother uncovered a teenage testimony, hard back and cobwebbed. How unusual a sensation to hold such a possession in the same hand some decades later. Her cheeks blushed as she unveiled the first page, a collage of love hearts and tutus. She became concerned for her teenage self as she read the words which once made sense. Monday. I nearly missed the bus this morning. Holy shit, imagine if I had. He was sat by the window, glorious as ever, if I sat opposite him, but one seat back, so I could stare without annoying. Oh, God, he's lush. Today I think he was practicing on the journey home. He must have had PE today. Tuesday. I got up extra early this morning so I could clap my hair. I did far too sit up and skip breakfast. I caught eyes when I got on the bus. I wondered, do you like my hair? He must have. My hair was a bit of a mess by the end of the day, so I undid it and it was lovely and wavy on the bus home. I didn't notice him looking at me though. Wednesday. I borrowed my mother's purple scarf this morning and put on purple tights and eyeshadow to match. I looked lush, I don't say for myself. We were reading a book this morning, not sure which one. I was telling the girls all about No Disco, and I didn't know he was listening. I bet he was impressed with my knowledge and good taste in music. He was listening to his Walkman on the way home. Skipped dinner this evening. Thursday. Oh my God, he got a haircut. I can just imagine his strawberry curls in the barber's drawer before being swept up and put out with the rubbish. Oh, I'm crying. If only I could flat his bang and curls in with my own. Friday. I smiled at him this morning, a proper smile meant to him. I didn't even plan it or anything. It just happened. He kind of smiled back. Jesus Christ, this day he actually spoke to me at a heart attack. Someday, my love, someday when we'll be together, you will declare your undying love for me and the same taste of music as me, and we shall dance happily ever after. I savour the ride home today, as I shall not see you until Monday, but alas, I have a plan. Tomorrow morning I shall go where I go every Saturday morning, to the library opposite where you live, and at approximately 1 o'clock I shall smoke a fag on the street corner, dreamingly looking at the upper floor of your home, wondering which one looks into your room. Or you dare to dream, or you get naked. Please look out the window and think, oh, that's Julie from the school bus. Oh, what is she doing there? God, she's lush. Then you close the diary with a dusty bang as a father tornado went into the room, snapping her out of her time-travelling zone. She lifted her miniature friend in her arms and tried to drag her mind back to the here and now. Here she is married, content, and relatively mentally stable. She must have sold to the scenario in cringe-worthy manuscript. Thank you. Her darling husband must never know her excessive and behaviour. She must never know the hours her eyes spent piercing his neck from an unknown angle on the bus. She now tangles her fingers in his strawberry grape furrows each night, never for 1 second forgetting how lucky she is. Thank you.
Next we have Richard Keane.
A bit of background to this one. It's based on a true story. It's a kinesiology teacher who is based in New York, and this is somebody that he used to treat, had to treat. And if you can imagine, a very straight-laced kind of guy, never does anything wrong, he's always kind of spot on, does everything the way he's supposed to do it. Some would say boring. He went to a party one night, and there was this happy ghost that went into him and wanted to cheer him up, and basically the kinesiologist had to get rid of the ghost. So this is based on what happened to him. I've taken the liberty of calling the ghost Pat, if that was the Irish connection. So it's called Meeting the Ghost of Good Time Pat. Have you ever met the ghost of Good Time Pat? He had sad looking souls, had a bit of a flame. I guess he thought I needed that when he decided to take me under his wing. Before that, I had never been to a lap dancing club, let alone a brothel. There was I venturing in to places I had never been, nor had I ever thought that I should go. I felt there were things I need not know. I developed a wink in my right eye when a good-looking woman passed me by. Many smiled and were content, but some stared back in complete contempt. Sometimes to the waitress, I put up my hands to say, no thanks, I will grant. But out of my mouth came a Roman black, if I don't sort this, there'd be no way back. The final straw was with a nun. My right hand jumped out and pinched her bum. She turned and swung, brought me near to tears, to my first black eye in 20 years. I looked in the mirror one morning and pleaded with Pat. It's been really great, but I can't handle that. Please move on and let me be. Now I'm bored and I'm confused.
Thank you.
you, Richard. And now we have Joe Collins.
I read two short ones. I read the other one from tonight from the Cyber Challenge. Blood red tomatoes shake the earth under a summer sky. Crickets clatter in sleep while the crop breathes to produce more life. We go out, drink whiskey and ale, forget what it's all about, exhale, murdering nothing, definitely not life, but rather a pale frail fire for a tale. Get up, don't sit or lounge or drink yourself foul, be alive, be free, full of light, full, alight and earthy. Breathe, stay at peace with your soul, and remember to avoid any deep dark holes. I've read it before, but I'm reading it. Ode to My Bicycle. My bicycle was destroyed in 2007 in Cork City, and it really upset me. So, okay. Farewell, dear bicycle. 18 years of happiness you brought me, cycling numerous hidden paths and roads to uncover wonderful treasures and of delights. You were my bell, my wheels, my pedals, my handlebars, my gears, my frame. In all of just, give or take, 5 minutes, somebody crushed you for kicks. In all of just 5 minutes, destroyed, ruined after a togetherness of almost 18 years, I had plans for us, but now all I can do is everything in the name of you.
Thanks, Joe. And it's the Cycling Festival this week, so I hope you have a bike to the cycle on time. Next we have Patricia Walsh.
This is called Honey of Affection. Her form, thinner than ice, walks down the road to greet me. Over conversation and lunch, she invites me back. Dinner suit on, a stat of cheap perfume. She tells me of one she has always loved. She tells me her trickery she used to catch him into her arms, like the trees catch the winds in their branches. Sour, like a remembered kiss, I find myself in my own bed, and to the soundtrack of wind rushing outside, I find a honey of affection wells within and keeps the person from spitting it away into soul and body to a useless article to the world of flesh. Called them August Evening 2001. Sitting on the architectural bluntness of deck chairs, drinking cans before the night falls in, contemplating our strategies for sin once we've reached the top of the stairs. Chernobyl walls couldn't keep him from you as we alight on the initial step, no reservations for the places that fold and tear as easily as crepe. Can you reach the light switch? I am so helpless under the circumstances of your mess. Love is a strategy, as I found when we were stood on common ground. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. And now, a round of applause for Paul Keating.
Thanks, Sue. I recently culminated many years of genealogical research into our family tree and discovered my great-great-grandfather in an evaluation, Griffith's evaluation of 1852. And it ended up catalyzing, I suppose, a family reunion, which had never happened, and of this magnitude, as far as I know. There were about 60 of us were there. There's some cousins of mine here tonight, actually, to come down from Dublin, and over from London, Jim and Anna. And it was just a fantastic event altogether. You suddenly meet 40 people who are your cousins, and you've never seen them in your life before. You're kind of looking at yourself in a way. But it's really just wonderful, great, great people. But in the looking for ancestors here. There are a lot of obstacles now. You know, the census records from 1861 and 1871 were destroyed for confidentiality reasons, and everything from 1881 and 1891 was pulped for paper due to shortages of paper in World War One. Under the assumption that there were copies held in London, there were no copies held in London. And all the records from 1813 to 1851, except for a few fragments, were blown up at the Customs House during the Irish Civil War by pro-treaty forces in the Battle of the Dublin. So if you can get back as far as the famine, you're doing really well if you've got any kind of reliant parish records. We found our great-great-grandfather back in the famine, one of the first Catholic turn farmers. But this poem's based on a photograph. It's actually of Alma's parents' wedding, which is in 1929 here in Cork, where looking at all my grandfather's brothers and sisters, and my great-grandparents were in there. And it's just kind of strange seeing your own family living in that time. So this is really kind of about all that experience. And there's an epigraph: better a state without an archive than an archive without a state. It's Winston Churchill, 1922. It's called Ash Tree and Sod. He enters through sepia, blends into the proud affair, across the trim lawn ghosts among them. They'll forgive him as cambium spirits root to leaf. Consciousness of chromosomes, shoulder and firm to ash, elements wed, lean unaware with their kin towards the bowed mist. The frail grey grandeur of great grandparents, proof in the silence, the first flowering gorse of O'Connell's dream. And the treaty shelves of 22, when our commander in chief gaped at the widening vacuum, the downpour of legacy, the flash flood of 1,000 years and cinders singeing the ash-red streets in a supernova of wills, testaments, parish registers, censuses, asymmetries of self-destruction, leaving ancestors bone deep in the fair hand, the god, the ash, the trees, the sod. Plunger.
Oh, Keithy and the Keithy clan. Okay. Next we have Crab.
Some of you may have heard this before. Calchas glared at his hands, willing them to start shaking. But nothing, only stone of thoughts tripping, daisy chain making. He rose and turned, wide wall open grinning, face front onto hackles ridden, maw saliva drooling, V-twin Harley snarling guard dog. Spring, death turn and technique, crack, whimper, dead dog at his feet. Robber's old near silent glide, night watch person step aside and he'd arrive. Lock, pick, snip, click, inside, turn right, left, upstairs, then right, in here, safe. Draw breath. Crack. Out, roof light, into night, drain pipe, flight, swag bag, gold, jewels, secrets, offshore banking details with evidence of fraud entailed. Main street, side street, off street, indoor, shut door, and secure. Shoes off, feet off, the lure of the looker. Sovereign, Kruger brand, ruby, diamond, pearl, Filofax, Rolodex, top secret file, hate mail, blackmail, pawn shop, fence off, cash in, 20 grams of heroin, average day for an ex-special forces junkie like.
Thank you, Rob, and now we're coming to the end of the evening with Alan Tiggy.
Going going after Paul Casey is not only to lower the tone, but to lower the microphone. You know? I was looking at some of William Blake's poetry recently, and some of you will be aware of Auguries of Innocence, which is a great poem about, you know, you know, sometimes a robin, red breast in a cage, puts all heaven in a rage. A horse, what is it? Misused upon the road, calls to heaven for human blood. He who shall hurt a little rain shall never be beloved of men. And I said, it's a great poem, but actually, it's simply not true. Because, in fact, the opposite is true. So this is a bit of a rant about the modern world and bankers and financiers and so on. And instead of augurs of innocence, it's called ogres of destruction. The banker in his tower of greed sneers at the world in its hour of need. Those little flea men down below are the food from which he grows. That food is the people's blood and sweat, their price that makes him so great. Some are born to blood and guts, others born to drink the cup. The banker sucks the bleeding stone, then sucks again, ignoring moans. The banker sucks the cut stone dry, then sucks again, near hears the cry. Then sucks until the stone grows thin, then sucks and sucks and sucks again. The banker at the parliament gate predicts the ruin of the state. The financier who starves the bird builds halls where concerts can be heard. The sneaky guys who rule the world leave their grey dull banners unfurled. They do their deeds in gilded rooms, preparing menus for the doomed. The doomed they live in fields of light, not knowing the seven kinds of shite their bosses have prepared for them who live outside the gilded den. The gilded den is their church of praise, where hymns to profit they do raise. They profit, that profit which takes the mother's milk, so the financier can fart through silk. The usurer gets his tons of cash, while millions live on rags and trash. Some are born to rags and trash, while others live on naked flesh. The rich push buttons, cash flows in. The poor scrape the bottom of trash tins. They push more buttons, armaments fly out, to encourage, defend, and protect the drought. It's the market, the gurus say, while at their stocks they daily play. They daily play at holy numbers, crunching the digits they wish to plunder. For every bottle of champagne, a state of suffering, toil and pain. And every Lexus slim and sleek is paid with someone else's feet. As the richest bangles and gold bands cost some poor child his two black hands. And the brown hands which made that football were stitched together in Bengal. The prince of capital who owned the lot passed on to the middleman who got his cut. But all the time the numbers flowed up and down the flashy boards, and whiz kids shouted across the floor where shares went up or down or soared, while the banker laughed in his tower of glass, knowing that this crisis would again pass. And in the trough would stay his snout as the democratic crew did bail him out. And while his groundlings he would never thank, there was always the IMF or the World Bank, or some such international financial scene which was truly the only reality. For him, the world is truly made, the rest just shavings of dark shade. For he who plucks out the child's heartstrings, to his pocket money brings. And he who owns slaves in the field, the fatter yet will be his yield. The only thing is to turn a profit, it doesn't matter who suffers for it. For once you adore the god of lucre, all other sins shall be passed over. For once you wax and you grow rich, the world thinks the better of you for it. You can pluck out the young babe's eyes, but no one cares if they don't hear the cries. You can bomb the darkies until they're dead. Who cares? They have towels upon their heads. You can flatten Baghdad, Afghanistan. The honest punter doesn't give a damn. As long as he don't ever meet the stock exchange armies come off his street. As long as bread and circuses give you your fix, the banky man will do his tricks and take their food out of their clay and take their sustenance clean away. It is a market system, fool. That is the world, that is the rule. It's a market system, damn it, and there's nothing you can do about it. Because if you think you might or can or do, we will set the whole caboose on you. The police, the cosh, the judges gone. We'll stop at nothing to put you down. The education system that presses anger, the horrors of the torture chamber. No problem, they say, the truth be told. The whole shebang's in our control. So get back quickly to your TV and let the real world just be. Don't bother your pretty little head with the great unwashed, unclothed, unfed, or the mysteries of the great financial wheel on which we gamble and more often steal. No point debating or contemplating rumpus. Christ said the poor will be always with us, and his church knew a thing or two of how to get obedience out of you. We've learned a lot from it and from every crook who could twist morality in a book. Remember when usury was a sin? I know every tricky Harry is joining in. Our glass cathedrals, they rule the sky, and we know the end's not nearly nigh. In fact, the end is so far away, there ain't no such thing as Judgment Day. There ain't no burning the devil's hell, which is a pity, cause maybe, well, we could invest in such a hot property and turn a profit on the deal. It's what we do when we invest, we win, so fuck you and all the rest. That charity stuff and all that care, no fibre from the bear does tear, from the brain does tear. That piping in the valleys wild does not cheer a huckster child. Tiger, tiger, burning true, have you made us some money too? With our martel hands and eyes, we will sell you by and by. When the hunter smiled his work to see, did he who shot the lamb shoot thee? He who chokes the nightingale's throat will aid economy and growth. A dog starved at his master's gate may make a tasty restaurant plate. A lie that's told with smart intent beats all the truth you can invent. Under every grief and whine runs a joy that's mostly mine. The wanton boy who blocks the sun will work for us in years to come. The beggar's rags flirting here and none may be sold when he passes on. The soldier armed with guns and tanks makes money for us and for other banks. When gold and gems adorn the plough, more riches from the earth shall flow. For us, it's never pain, just gain, playing footsie with the stock exchange. You may rage and you may curse, but we're still the masters of the universe. Woo-hoo!